irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Our guests are jamming to the music, Michael.
Exactly.
I like it.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah. They're hip.
Look, hipper than you and I gotta tell you, man.
We're the young ones.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey, we've got some fun stuff going on
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely, and on a beautiful day, March 15th, beautiful here day. In sunny California.
Behind the curtain in our script I had on this cold and rainy day, and then I said, no. No, no, by the coast it's cold and rainy, but right. I'll bet you anything in the valley it's going to be beautiful.
Yes, so. Well, at least for sure today, is. But I think the rain's going to continue through the week.
So. That's what they say. That's what they say.
We have to love it because we need it, right?
That's right. That's right. And as you say, Michael, here we are on March 15th, a beautiful day, a great time in Southern California to get out and see some theater, yeah?
Absolutely. And we are privileged to have two of the amazing performers who co-star in the premiere of Broadway's Allegiance, the Los Angeles premiere of Broadway's Allegiance. Such a tremendous, powerful show.
That it definitely is, Michael. No doubt about it.
And how exciting that we have the opportunity to see it here in Los Angeles as the East-West Players and Japanese American Cultural and Community Center present Allegiance, starring George Takei, at the Aratani Theater. It's already in progress. It opened February 21st, and it plays through April 1st. Let's bring them out right now, ladies and gentlemen. Elena Wang and Ethan Lafong.
Yeah.
welcome. Glad to have you both here.
Thank you, guys,
Thank
for having
you.
Us.
What a fun show this must be to be involved with, yeah?
It's a fun show, but it's also a big show, and it's
big.
It's important too, right?
Very important show.
It's amazing because so many times, you know, we're cast as Laurie in Oklahoma or something. You're like, okay, I'm going to do this show, and it's fun. But there's also such a depth and important to the show that when you look at it, you see kind of a story that's told from an angle of somebody who can now look back and say, this is crucial to who I am now, and who I am now is an influential human being who's speaking out, who's making statements, and delivering amazing theater. What a privilege that must be to be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that it's on here in L.A., in Little Tokyo, you know, where it all happened, it's so wonderful because, you know, every time before the show, we would get together as a group and we would say, you know, let's do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
yeah.
do it for the people that went through this, 120,000 mm-hmm. Japanese Americans. And, you know, we would have a moment and then tell this story, you know, for everybody. Yeah.
And it's a joy to, obviously, and I know, Michael, you feel this way very much. In theater, we have few chances to do really good things, and that's where that enjoyment comes from, saying, you know, my job isn't always just entertaining. Sometimes it's also commenting and educating, which I think is one of the best things we can do as performers. Great idea. Really good thing.
And, you know, the truth to it as well. I mean, with George and that whole story, you know, mm-hmm. that this is built upon is... And it's quite stunning and remarkable, actually, when I start to think about what you just said. I was thinking about it, because so many people don't know, you know, that this, especially younger people, don't know that this happened.
It's
at
happened,
that
yeah.
point in time.
That's absolutely right.
And it's always that way, you know, with moments in history that are of this sort, that the younger generation doesn't, you know, get told this information or study this information or they gloss over it. However, it's out there and it needs to be seen and heard and something needs to be done about it. And it's still, you know, happening in a different way today with the homeless people. You know,
that's true. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously, this show is historical fact in some ways, but it's set in a fictional setting, correct?
Absolutely.
And right. so that's something that you can tell these stories of these people and you can say what happened and comment on it with the full dramatics and the theatrical nature that makes it such an enjoyable show. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was looking at was this camp that George was in, or the character in the show was in, but certainly that George was in, it's set in Arkansas, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
That's such a strange thing to think of, that yeah. they took yeah. from native California and stuck in the middle of Arkansas. What an amazing story. And we're going to get more to that in a little bit, because this is a show that obviously has a lot to it we're going to get to talk about. But before we do that, Michael, you want to pay some bills and stay on the air?
Sure.
Let's
sure.
do it.
I just wanted to add one thing before we went into that. Am I correct in saying that downtown L.A., where the show is taking place, George was born close by in that area, no?
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah. So yeah. what a return. You
right
know, for him with this show, whatever
that's right
it is. Fantastic. Yes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, culture, and lovers. Well, that's, you know, it's
no
the love
doubt
boats,
about it. That's right.
loved ones in a new way.
One of the best known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options, including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels to 360 destinations worldwide.
That's amazing, right?
No doubt about
it. Yeah. We'd also like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
No doubt about it. Obviously, great resources there and great people who care about the live arts and telling stories and promoting live entertainment rather than sitting in front of your TV all day long, which I think is such an important thing for people to get out and do things. Michael, I got to know, though, anything great happened in your theatrical week? I know you've just come down from Million Dollar Quartet.
I have, and I'm just gearing up to handle Jason Robert Brown's Parade, which is being produced by 3D Theatricals, and it's the second time around for this show with them, because 4 years ago they won so many Ovation nominations.
They did, right? Yeah.
15 nominations and won 5 of them, including Best Show. So they felt it was time to bring it back. It's such a beautiful show.
Many of the original cast members coming back again?
Yes, indeed. Almost all of them, with the exception of a couple. And then, of course, this weekend at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, coming up on Sunday and Monday, we have Christina Rauwitter, who is an Ovation Award winner for her performance in Ragtime, and Matthew Ballestero, who I think that you know, Ethan,
yes,
don't you? Yes, they're co-headlining
a
show called That's Life. And then on Monday, the Foundation for New American Musicals is bringing in their show, which is called Third Mondays, and it presents 5 Broadway performers who sing from Broadway's past, from the present, and from the future.
A future.
Being that music coming from shows that this organization is shepherding.
Very cool.
And hoping to get to New York at some point.
Well, and obviously, Third Mondays is a great chance for people to get out and kind of see not only a great show, but also in a great atmosphere at the Federal that we love so much. Great food, great drinks, great time out. It's a great thing to do there.
Yeah. Will you be there?
No. I wish I was. Okay. I desperately wish I was. I would give almost anything to sit at the Federal nonstop. I would be very happy
and
that way.
And have vanilla martini.
I would drink vanilla martinis for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Do you think I have a problem? It's completely possible. I got to tell you, it's so funny when I sit there and I look at the Federal and what it is. It's such a fun atmosphere because it's a cabaret. You can do that. You can hang out. You can snack. You can drink. You can conversate with your friends. Unfortunately, I have to work to pay for all that, which is a problem. Conversate.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to bring it back. That and wooing. You know, he went a wooing the other day. I think that'd be great to bring back, too.
And somebody wrote me, an executive at the Wallace Annenberg Theater used the word funky in an email.
Funky's a good one.
He said it was funky. And I said, funky, I like that. I said, I haven't really know that word very well. So
the dictionary by Andrew and Michael.
Yeah. All right, shall we do this, sir?
Let's bring in this beautiful woman sitting here to our
beautiful
right.
Beautiful. No doubt. Understatement.
We have a couple beautiful people in the studio. Why do you keep bringing in all these good-looking performers, man? It makes me feel bad about myself, Michael.
Well,
come
you
on.
Shouldn't. You shouldn't. You're
our
beautiful
first
to me.
Guest has worked in several countries, including England, Singapore, and now the U.S. She has a B.A. in musical theater and an M.F.A. in film.
She's worked with artists including Taylor Swift and Shaquille O'Neal, and has performed as Melody in Todrick Hall's Oz, the musical with Tori Kelly.
Prior to coming to the U.S., she appeared in The King and I in London's Royal Albert Hall. Her leading roles, such as Ivy in Beauty World and Snow White in Snow White, also won her Elle Magazine's Elle Magazine's Breakout Star of the Year in Singapore. Thank you, Michael.
Her most recent work in the States includes the role of Kim in Worldwide Theatricals production of Miss Saigon, and she is here today, however, to talk about her co-starring role in Allegiance with George Takei. Please welcome the beautiful and glamorous and very talented Elena Wang.
Yeah!
Hi, Elena.
So glad to have you here.
What an introduction.
Right? we keep our fans caged up for most of the week. When we let them out, they're very exuberant, you can tell.
Amazing. Amazing. I love it.
So this is an interesting project that obviously has had a long road, and I think it's something that, from what I read online last night and the clips that we saw, it's something that was created to tell a story that's never been told in exactly this way. Is that correct?
That is correct, and it was funny because George actually met Lorenzo and Jay, who are the music and lyricist writer and mm-hmm. the book writer, and also the producers of the show. And they met during In the Heights, I think. And when they finally met, George told them his story. And long story short, they actually decided to make a musical out of it, and loosely based on his life, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's wonderful to be able to have this medium to tell this story.
That's great.
He has the kindest face, doesn't he?
He does. And he's also, and you know what? That reflects his heart. You
think
see him
right.
on TV, or you hear him on the radio, right. or whatever. He's exactly the same
mm-hmm.
In real life.
Yes, he is.
He's just so pure, so genuine. Yeah.
I had the pleasure of meeting him when it was at the very first staged reading of this show in Beverly Hills at the Writers Guild or the Directors Guild.
And that was how many years ago?
That was a while ago, and it was for investors. It
right.
was one of those
wow.
evenings.
Oh, yeah. Stages.
Yeah.
Michael's been at the ground floor of everything.
Oh
like, seriously, if it doesn't have a ground floor, then that's the only reason Michael's not there. He's founded everything in LA. Seriously. So this was over a decade ago, right?
Where do you come up with that
stuff? It's true. I just call him as I see him.
Okay.
So this was over a decade ago, right?
Probably in and around.
Yeah.
And then it went to New York directly after that. Is that right? They got funding and went to New York?
They didn't get funding directly. It was, the road to the funding. It
wow.
was the first big push for it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
and that's so hard to do, especially with an original work, even with somebody like George, who's so well-known and so well-respected. It's still hard to get something up and going and find the performers and get it rolling. And that's, I think, one of the remarkable things about this is that it's back in Southern California, and a chance to see the show, all that time later and see how it's finally come out.
Well, it's never played
thing.
Here.
It's a great thing. Just the readings.
Yeah,
just very great.
So that is very exciting news. But what was your process, and what is your process for this? Because based on the character that you're playing, and you are brother and sister, right?
That's correct.
In the show.
Yes.
And you actually, Ethan, play young Sammy.
Yeah. George and I share the role.
It's nice of you to share it with
him. He's a given actor.
Well, George also doubles
as our grandfather.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. Yeah, my process.
I mean, what did you have to do to bring it and make it your own?
Well, it's really interesting because I only joined the entire process during the Broadway run.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the open call and they said, come to Broadway with us. And I was actually here in LA, and it was literally on the spot. And I just went, okay, I guess I'm moving.
wow.
And so when we did it on Broadway, it was beautiful because I got to see, Lea Salonga's rendition of Kay Kimura, and she's had 8 years by that point, several different versions of
right.
her. Apparently wasn't even a sister back then. So it was really nice to kind of, it was almost like a master class. I got to see Lea on stage on Broadway, and I already knew I had set dates where I would go on as Kay. So with Broadway, as an understudy, you usually have to do it like the stars do it.
Right.
Whereas for here, because it's a whole brand new cast, Ethan's now a new Sammy instead of Telly. We've got a new Tatsuo, who's the father, a new Frankie, who's Amard Cabling. We really got to work from the ground up, which is wonderful. Now I feel like the characters are younger, they're more vibrant, they're more fun, we're bringing out the comedy a little more, and a lot of Kay now is very me, finding that self-worth and being okay with who I am, you know, as a person, as a performer, you know, because I feel like I've just come into the musical theater scene.
Well, it's interesting that comedy that you talk about is so important, because that was such an escape mechanism for so many of these families. Oh, if they didn't have that, and of course that's gone through anything where people were confined in a group like this. If you don't have that sense of community, that humor, then you can't survive it. So,
well, absolutely. And I think a lot of people go, well, you know, do we really want to see a musical about, you know, incarceration camps? But really, we're talking about, you're following a family's journey.
Yeah.
You're following two love stories that
that's
are beautiful. You've got, you know, a baseball team and dances, and you know, and they really did that in the camps. They really made a life for themselves. So it's fun. Everyone laughs. Everyone cries, and it's a beautiful journey. So,
can you tell us a little bit about your research for this? Because obviously, there's a huge responsibility that you have to tell this story well. And I can imagine how hard it was to test that comedy and go, okay, is this what we was this still fit with the story and that sort of thing? Because you want to be sure you do it right, which you guys do. The clips were absolutely beautiful last night. Can you tell me a little bit about your research into the actual event? The laws that were passed saying that this was right before World War II, right before America entered World War II, after the Pearl Harbor attack, a lot of anti-Japanese American sentiment going on. What kind of things did you find out in your research, being not around at that time, obviously?
Well, and that's the thing. I think it's about, how do I stay true to the character? You know, there's always a balance with this musical. I feel like sometimes we get backlash in regards to, you know, this is a little bit too factual, and then sometimes we get completely opposing backlash saying, oh, it's a little too fictional.
Right.
So, how do we balance that, where we're really just telling a story and we're trying to get the information across to everybody without having to say, you know, this is what happened.
Right.
This is,
you don't want to be preachy.
These are the facts. Yeah, yeah. We're not trying to be preachy.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not trying to be schooly. In fact, we actually performed in front of a bunch of students, like 800 students yesterday morning.
Wow. Mm.
And all of them were just cheering like it was a pop concert. It was sort of, you know, they were so with us, and they learned that information through the show. So for me, I think in the process, it was about really getting all the different information through personal experiences. We would actually meet people who were incarcerated in the camps.
Wow.
George, of course, for one, was a great resource. We would actually hear their personal journey. For instance, one woman came to me and she said, you know, I got really emotional when I saw the bags, when you guys took your bags and left for the camps, because I remember I was 15 years old and I was only allowed one.
Oh.
And I lost everything. We lost our home, we lost all of our goods. Literally, one bag was my life. So, you know, not only would I, you know, Google things and, you know, like you said, all of the factual things that we would know, but we would also kind of go, okay, if I were there, how would I feel?
Yeah.
And I think that's a balance that we need to have in order to tell this story. Yeah.
Not an easy story to tell.
No, it's not. I was just like getting choked up inside listening to you say that and trying to understand the emotional, the emotions of the people you were talking about.
Yeah.
And to go through something like that, you know, people, we live in such a different world right now, and I'm not saying it's a better world. In fact, I think it's kind of despicable in many ways. And I think technology has been at the forefront of changing the dynamics of our thinking and our instant gratification when we want it. Nobody has any patience anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody understands manners or anything like that anymore.
Yeah.
It's out the window. I would be very reluctant if I was a parent at trying to raise a young child in this environment, you know?
Well, and it's interesting with our line of work, you know, we do rely on social media, but I feel like social media is also something that works against us sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
In many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a wonder. It's a wonderment, all of this technology. Yeah. I say that on the other side. But if people would only respect it and not abuse it and respect human beings as human beings.
Well, and that's the basis of that. You're right. So many things is how do we use it and do we push it over the edge?
Yeah.
One of the things I was struck by, and again, I want to say this show is obviously a lot of work, and it obviously has a very important message, but it's also enthralling and fun to watch these people survive in a place where you go, I probably couldn't survive there. You know, that's a really great and uplifting thing to know that George did come out of this and was able to go on and do Twilight Zone and Star Trek and these things that made him a worldwide star and now give him this voice, which to tell this story. If you don't understand that, then there's no point in going to see the show, because the great ending of this is that there are people who survived with this depth to tell this story now. But I was shocked at how many people at the time said, I can't believe this happened in America, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, we'd heard of it happening in Germany. We'd heard of it happening across the world. Of course, the Irish were terribly treated in New York. But this was America, where people were being contained in boxes. Mm-hmm. And kind of people didn't know that was going to happen here, the land of the free. And I think after that, there was so many people, enlightened people, who said, we need to really look at what we do for our safety, what we do because and what rights we take away. Because if we don't trust people to be good people, no matter where they come from, no matter what they do, then we've given up the basis of America. And I think that's something that's certainly in the news now and certainly politically very valid now. But I don't think that at the time really occurred to people, because there was so much fear. And I think so many things that we deal with come from fear. Mm-hmm. If you can learn to handle fear, and if you can learn to handle hurt and not be jaded by it, then hopefully these mistakes don't get made.
Absolutely.
Well said.
And now I'm going to step down off my podium and ask a question, which that was one of the things that I got through my research on this, is how interesting that was to live there. Now, you have to tell me, what's it like to work with George? It's got to be just amazing.
It is the golden question, isn't it? You know, he's so down to earth. No matter what he's been through, he's just got a heart of gold. And it's funny, I would always tell people, I don't have family here, because my family are in Singapore mostly, and I never got to know my two grandfathers, because one of them died before I was born, and the other one was somewhat estranged. So he sort of became that figure for me. And, you know, to do that in a span of 2.5 years since the Broadway run is impeccable, because it really speaks to the kind of human being he is. He's family to a lot of us. Not only is he a great resource and someone who's so smart and just so intelligent and such an activist in what he believes in, but he will take care of you, and he will go out of his way to just love you no matter who you are. And I think that's so wonderful and rare in a human being right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's great.
You don't find that in everybody.
That's right.
Yeah, so
especially
supportive
at that age. You know, as he is,
absolutely.
But he's probably been this way all of his life anyway.
Yeah, yeah. He's just wonderful. I don't know, Ethan, your experience with him.
I am backing you up.
And it's a master class, too, to watch him act.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
He's so committed.
The name of the show is Allegiance, and of course the East-West Players have combined with the JACC to bring this show here to Los Angeles, what they call the Los Angeles premiere of this amazing show. It opened up on February 21st and runs all the way through April 1st, 2018 at the Artani Theater.
And it has previews Wednesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m., Fridays at, oh, I'm sorry, that is in the past? Oh, okay. Yes,
that has gone into the past.
It does play Thursday through Saturday evenings.
And Sunday.
Easiest way to get tickets is to go to allegiancemusical.com. That's Allegiance musical.com.
Or is there a telephone number here that they can call? I think it's best to go to the website.
I think that's the easiest way to do it. Everybody's online these days. So. One of the fun things about a musical like this and about this story is that there is still that link to the past, people who were there, and telling those stories now. I remember the first time I talked to my grandfather about his experience during the war and how much it had changed him, and then coming back to Ohio State where he had left. And, you know, he came back and he saw the world completely differently. If we're not talking to people who are older than us and have experienced more things, I don't know how we ever learn and grow. So.
Yeah.
Shall we take a moment away from these two amazing performers and do ourselves a little bit of a live arts calendar,
sure,
Michael?
Absolutely.
I like this one. This is a fun one we're going to talk about here. Joined at their arthritic hips, lifelong friends Bert and Harold are residing at Valley View Gardens, where there is no valley, no view, and not much in the way of a garden. They spend their days bickering about nearly everything.
When retired actress Adrienne Bliss moves in and decides to join the duo on their bench in the sun, a heated rivalry develops as the pair vie for Adrienne's attentions.
Part grumpy old men, part the odd couple, the script is as rich with one-liners as can be, tender moments and musings about the seasons and the sacrifice one makes in life, and reflections on the way the world is changing. Come see the show Mel Brooks called Funny, very wise, very moving, but most of all, very funny. Broadway World calls it an uproarious and endearing tribute to the joys and tribulations of aging.
A Bench in the Sun is playing now through April 8th at PowPack. That's Poway's Community Theater. For tickets or information, call 858-679-8085 or visit Powack, P-O-W-P-O-W-P-A-C, excuse me, P-O-W-P-A-C.org.
That's right. A great show. That one's got a lot of that kind of Walter Matthau, Jack Lemmon sort of feel.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. That first line, joined at their aging arthritic hips. That's a great first line of a press release. Now the time has come,
yes,
Michael. He's been sitting here patiently, looking dapper as ever. Our next guest was the understudy for Aladdin in Disney's Aladdin on Broadway. West End theater credits include Miss Saigon, The King and I, South Pacific, the original cast of We Will Rock You, the original cast of Thoroughly Modern Millie, the original cast of Disney's Aladdin, Ballad of Little Joe, and the opera.
Other theater credits include Pippin with East West Players, The Life with Jack's Theatricals, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat with Sacramento Music Circus, Les Miserables, and Rent at the Hollywood Bowl, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers at La Mirada Performing Arts, Mask with at the Pasadena Playhouse, and Man of La Mancha for Reprise.
Touring credits include the U.S. National Tour of Mamma Mia and the Broadway version as well, Second National and Germany Tours of Miss Saigon. Some film and TV credits include Waiting in the Wings, The Best Man, Royal Variety Performance, the Oscars, Children in Need, and Blue Peter.
He's here today to talk with us about his current co-starring role in Allegiance. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Ethan LaFont. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
We've obviously heard you speak a little bit on this and your involvement of the show. Can you tell us how you became involved, what the process was like?
Sure. I was in London at the time, and I remember seeing the breakdown for the auditions for LA, and I knew I couldn't make it, obviously. So I had
That's
to.
A terrible feeling, isn't it? Isn't that just going, oh, if I was only there.
I really want to try it. So I contacted East West Players, and I sent in a self-tape at the time. And I almost didn't get to get the gig because they sent my call back to an old email address that I had.
Oh, no.
And I didn't hear from them for like a couple of weeks. And yeah. I thought, I was like, oh, they probably have found somebody else. I haven't heard from them.
That's a great story.
Like, right.
How did you eventually get it to the right person?
I think someone contacted me on Facebook saying, we have been trying to contact you.
Wow.
You know, have you checked your email? And I was like, I have. I'm, you know. So apparently they sent it to the wrong email address.
Yeah.
An old one that I don't check anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
And and then they said, we need you to, it was a Wednesday night that they sent me the callback materials. It's like, can you put these six scenes and other songs and send it by Friday? I was like, wait, what?
Sure. All right. Say yes and then figure it out.
Let's cancel everything.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And I grabbed my acting coach and we, you know, put everything on tape, send it out on Friday. And then come Monday, I got a call.
Wow.
And so it was a blessing.
Now, we sit here on State of the Arts, and we bash social media and all this, and it turns out that it saved this young man this part. So we better remember there's some good stuff there, too. Yeah. He gave the world this part. That's a great thing, a great story. That's my fear. I still have a cell phone from, like, 1989 that I won't give up the number on, even though no other cell phone company will take it, because I'm so worried someday there's going to be one call for the job that I don't want to miss on that cell phone.
I still have a service number that I check once in a while just to make sure that, you know, always update your material.
Right, that's so true. Keep your numbers valid. That's a great story.
So you have come home to East
yes.
West.
Mm-hmm.
Great thing.
And when you and I met was yep. in a beautiful production of Pippin.
Thank you.
And you were so wonderful in it. And that production actually went on and had a life at the Center Theater Group after that, right?
That was a different production. Center Theater Group was, I believe it was Deaf West Company
okay.
that did that, yes.
Mm-hmm. But it ultimately...
With East West Players Pippin, we managed to extend the run,
mm-hmm.
and it became one of East West Players' highest profitable musicals for them.
Wow.
You know,
and Marcus Choi was someone
Marcus
else.
Marcus Choi was in it, yes. Who was also in Allegiance Broadway,
yes.
but now is on tour playing George Washington in Hamilton.
Yes,
such a great thing. That's wonderful.
You know, hey, represent.
Very much, very much. So, how much fun? I mean, you've had an amazing career. You've worked in London. You've worked in Germany. You've worked on Broadway. And you're so young, really, to have all of that at this particular, you know, time of your life.
Thank you.
You must feel blessed every day.
I do. You know, coming, knowing where I came from and knowing what my dad had to deal with when we escaped from Vietnam, mm-hmm. I think I am blessed every day for it. I thank my family for it. I thank mm-hmm. That experience and what I had to go through, you know, to get me in. And for me to be here, so.
You've spoken on that a little bit online from what I saw. Would you mind going a little more into that and how it helped you when you're playing this part, which is obviously a very similar situation, mm-hmm. a very different setting, different time frame?
Yeah, I was born in Vietnam, mm-hmm. and my family and I left via boat about 3 years after the war. We were boat people, and my family consisted of 7 adults and 10 children under the age of 14. We left on 2 boats in the middle of the night, and we ended up meeting up. And funny thing is, we almost didn't meet up because someone forgot to bring a lantern.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we couldn't find each other in the
oh
middle
gosh.
Of the night. And but lucky enough, we heard each other.
Right.
And then we ended up drifting. We were supposed to go to the Philippines, but our motor broke. So we ended up drifting for over a month, 33 days in the ocean, and we ended up in Macau.
And what time of year was this? Was it exceedingly hot?
It was. My dad said that we probably have witnessed one of the strongest typhoons at that and
wow.
that season. You know, my mom recalled waves that were like 10 story high, mm-hmm. you know, and there's moments where my dad said that if we couldn't survive, or if one person could not survive, then we would all, the adult's decision would to sink the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, send for all of us to go. And there's times when ships would pass us by, but they wouldn't take us on, because I believe the laws were that unless you're shipwrecked, then ships were able to take you on board. But because our ship was floating,
terrible.
They wouldn't take us on. So they gave us food and whatnot. But there are times when it's so hot, and we would have to take the condensation from the pot. We would boil water, and everybody would have like a teaspoon of water a day.
Now, what year was this again?
Back in 1978, 79, mm. I believe, yeah.
You know, I occasionally feel very proud of myself that I got my child to elementary school all right and safe and sound, and I walk away feeling very good. Ah, I've accomplished my task. I can't imagine getting my entire family out of Vietnam into another country after that kind of... What an amazing
yeah.
thing your
you know,
father did. That's great.
We ended up in Chicago, and my dad would... He would wash dishes at night, and then went to DeVry
wow.
during the day.
Wow.
And my mom would learn English, mm. you know, and to take care of us. And my dad, he's the true American story. We started as dishwasher, taking English classes and going to DeVry IT, and became, you know, an engineer,
mm.
and my mom as well. And they are retired in Atlanta. right wow. now. And yeah, and I, you know, and I think when I told my parents that I wanted to do the arts, they, my dad wanted me to be an engineer, mm-hmm. but he would never say no to me because, or say no to any of his kids because had we were still stuck in Vietnam, none of this would have bloomed.
Have you ever thought about telling the story or writing a film about it, that sort of thing?
Yeah, my brother and I we're working on it.
You must know my good friend Joan Amadelia. Yeah, she's a
yes.
good friend of the show. Her husband's an amazing director, and while you're speaking, I'm just thinking how great he would be at telling this story as well. So this is one of those things, and I read just a little bit of this when I was reading some of your bios and such, but it was interesting to kind of find how your past and this show went together. Have you communicated any of this during rehearsals, and did you use any of that sort of thing to kind of access this character?
I have some with the cast and to tell the story, but I think, I mean, there's one line where George would direct. He would say, "When I was your age, I fought in war. My father was at my age, you know, he crossed the ocean.
Right,
and that's the moment when." Always hits me because I think of my dad and my family right there.
Yeah.
Like, boom. And then that drives my determination to sing Our Time in the show.
That's a great thing. The show we're talking about is Allegiance, and it's now on stage. It's a joint production between East West Players and JACCC, which is, of course, two very reputable and amazing groups that have combined to bring this beautiful piece to life.
And, you know, Ethan, I wanted to ask you a question because as you're speaking, I picture this in my mind, and I hope I'm picturing it correctly. So you had these two boats, and you weren't the only people, though, out there on the sea trying to get out.
No, it was just us.
Just you?
Just our family, yeah.
And your destination was the Philippines.
Yeah. We planned to go to the Philippines, but then we ended up in Macau.
In Macau.
Because we just drifted.
And then from Macau, how long was it before you?
I believe we were in the refugee camp for about 4 to 5 months.
Hmm.
And then an organization sponsored our family mm-hmm. because my dad worked as a translator for South Vietnam and for the Americans. And I think they fast-tracked his applications.
Do you know the organization that sponsored you?
I can't recall right now.
Was it an organization that had some ties with Chicago, or...?
No, they just knew it was a musical town, so they figured you should be there. That's amazing. It's also interesting to talk about how many organizations go out of their way to help the refugees, and we're seeing this all over the world today, to where it takes people intervening mm-hmm. on behalf of someone else to say, hey, this is something that needs to be dealt with.
And I think, you know, with coming to my stories, that it's just... That's just one story, and I think that's what Allegiance is about as well. It's just that one family story. And it's funny because I met this woman the other night where she came to me and she's like, your storyline is my dad's storyline.
Wow.
That's, my dad went through that, you know. He was in Heart Mountain, and he signed up for the war, and he was, you know, part of the 442, and I was like, wow. So as fiction
that is amazing,
there's incidents of real life, you know, that happened for the American Japs.
That's amazing. Japanese. That's amazing.
Again, another piece of the history that people don't even give a second thought to because they don't know about it to begin with.
You know,
that kind of difficulty in leaving a country like that and the perils and the most touching thing that you said about the adult's decision that if one person went down, the whole boat was going to... Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine making that choice for your family? I mean, I honestly can't even fathom that. That's just something that's beyond what I can understand.
But that comes from such loyalty to... You know, to mm-hmm. the Japanese people, they are very loyal to one another and mm-hmm. their own. And I think that life is more precious and important to them and family, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's all about family. Americans should be taking lessons from that.
Again, the show is Allegiance, and the easiest way to get tickets is allegiancemusical.com. That's allegiancemusical.com. So, obviously, this production has an amazing legacy that we've talked so much about. What are your hopes for what people will get when they go to the show? What are you hoping they walk away with?
The sense of community. I think there's hope, you know. there's so many themes that people walk out with. But I think near the end with the Camorras, it's always there's no matter what life is giving you, there's always another chance to redeem it or to give that life a chance.
That's a beautiful way to say that. We've seen that in other works like I Never Saw Another Butterfly and these sort of things where it's the idea from a child's perspective, this is as bad as anybody can imagine it being, and yet there's still hope. What a great thing to pass on. That's a great way to say that.
Have your parents been able to come out to Los Angeles?
Yes, both our parents came on opening night.
Oh, nice. Wow. That's
very exciting.
That must have been a little hard as well, given your father's experience, to see that. It must have brought up a lot of tough memories.
You know, it's interesting. He loved it.
Good.
He loved the one thing. Well, I think the one comment he was like, "How could you memorize all those?"
Don't you love that? Don't
he was
you
more
love that?
About you're starting about the technical part of it.
He gets people across the ocean, but he's amazed that you can learn these lines. That sounds like an indelible spirit your father has. That's very, very cool. Very, very cool. That's a great line.
What do you think? What is the one thing? I'm going to ask this of both of you, actually. What is the one thing you, Ethan, have not yet done in your career that you would like to do?
Other than being on State of the Arts, obviously.
Oh, yes. We know that was on his mind.
They crossed it off the list as soon as they walked through the door.
Wow. I don't know. There's a lot of roles that I would like to tackle.
Name one. Come on. We've got contacts all over the world now. This is your chance.
I always wanted to do Phantom one day.
Wow. Hey, that's cool.
Why not?
Is Davis absolutely. Gaines doing Parade? Is he?
He is.
Okay, so we got to get you hooked up with Davis Gaines at Parade.
One day. You know, the engineer would be another great, you know, all these staple roles that eventually I would like to play. Mm-hmm. But then again, getting a chance to do an original work is always good original work.
Right. Good qualification. Very smart.
Quality, meaningful. You know, I'm hoping that one day my brother and I will get our story out. You know,
is your brother also a performer?
He is a landscape architect.
Oh.
But my family's quite musical. Like my sister sings, but my brother, he'll pick up any instrument and he'll know how to play it in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Really? What?
Yeah.
He just has that.
He has that ear.
Mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my mom used to be a singer. My dad, you know, he played the guitar and wrote music in Vietnam. So
wow.
I think this is part of our DNA.
Ms. Wang, you have something on your list that you would love to do someday that you haven't had the opportunity yet?
I'd love to go back on the film TV track. Pre-Allegiance, I actually gave up musical theater.
That'll teach you.
I know it was.
They drew you back in again.
They did. Well, I only came to the States actually for New York Film Academy just to study film, basically, and then Allegiance literally just happened and stars aligned and all that good stuff. But I would love to go back to that. And I think originating roles is a huge thing for me.
Well, I tell you, let's get this story on film. You can do all three because this is an amazing piece for film as well from what I saw.
Yeah.
So where can people find out more about you and follow your career with what you're going to be doing next?
I would say just, you know, follow me on all the social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram,
Twitter.
At the Elena Wang Twitter. I'm actually very new to social media.
That's good. That's a good quality
still,
in people.
I know. I'm still learning about it, and a big part of that is just basically to, you know, share my career, share my life. I've got, you know, family in Singapore and all over the world.
I just taught her how to upload a photo.
I was like, how do I download a video?
She's
so
15 minutes ago.
Kidding. My 9-year-old had to teach me, so I'm right with you there. It's unbelievable. These kids these days can do anything.
So that's
Ethan. Where can people find out more about you?
Same. You know, there's the Facebook, Instagram, and
the Book of Faces.
Twitter at Ethan Lee Fong.
Wonderful.
So, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, your bios were fantastic.
Thank you.
This group, both these groups, do an amazing job of really promoting their actors and showing you kind of their background and certainly the amazing talents they bring together to make these shows possible.
And Los Angeles, it's just, you know, when these things happen in Los Angeles, it gives me such hope that the continuation of the live arts here becomes more important and more important and more important, because it's so thought of as a film town. So, you mm-hmm. know, it's taken lightly by a lot of people and other people who get it. You know, that's, we don't have to worry about them. But the Pantages, you know, brings in these amazing shows. And I was just at the opening of Aladdin and, mm-hmm. as was Andrew, and to know that you were in that show, you must have had a blast doing that, for God's sake, because I have never seen something quite that spectacular. Disney always does it right, but that
it was a 1940s music. That was amazing. You're right. Yeah.
So much
yeah.
fun.
And still playing, is that correct? Is it still there?
Still yes, there until March 31st.
So, I mean, obviously another great chance to get out and see that. The costume changes alone in that show. I mean, you could do a show just on the costume changes in the show. It's unbelievable. Right. Michael, is it that time?
Is it that time?
And now, how would I know? Embarrassing moments.
I wish I could control that guy. He shows up and just changes the show.
He does.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the much-awaited, much-anticipated, sought-after, embarrassing moments segment. Ethan, do you have anything that's happened in your career, something that maybe
yes.
was embarrassing or
Let's
hard
see.
To get through?
Well, speaking of Aladdin, uh-oh. I remember one of my first performances on as Aladdin, I went through my scenes, and there's a moment where I have to go back into this... this house before I get kicked out, and right before I sing One Jump. And right before the show started, I could not remember the first line of One Jump.
Oh, no. My kid could have helped you. He loves that song, man. He sings in the back seat all the time.
When the shop owner walked in, I was like, what's my first line?
Oh, no.
What is my first line? I was so nervous that I jumped out, and then the song started, and I went, gotta keep... I'm like, everybody knows One Jump.
They all do, you're right. And you got through it, though?
I got through it, but, you know, a few mishaps. But after that, I will never,
I'll
ever
bet.
Forget those first words.
How much mocking did you take from your cast members, all of whom have probably had that exact same thing happen to them?
Exactly.
So.
and the Brits are cruel.
They are. I've always said that. I'm very well known for saying that.
They love to make fun of you. So.
How funny.
But yeah.
How about you?
Oi.
She says.
I think it was when I was doing Snow White in Singapore, and it was that moment where she eats the apple and passes out, and one of the dwarves steps on my wig.
Oh, no.
And the thought that ran through my head, I was mortified. I was like, the worst thing these kids want to see is a bald Snow White.
Oh, no.
So I literally had to, the entire scene, I had to, as they were carrying me to the bed, I had to hold my wig in a way that was somewhat limp, that was somewhat strange. And a part of the scene was she sort of like gets up falsely and then falls back down again. And I had to like... I don't know, get that wig on my scalp with my finger and somehow pull off the fact that I was still dead. So that was mortifying for me. So luckily, you know.
But you saved the children. That's a good thing. You sacrificed yourself for the children.
I think also my dress zip broke. So I was like, if I was naked and bald at the same time, that would have just...
Yeah, they watched SpongeBob SquarePants. They're probably more indoctrinated to it. I wouldn't worry about it. Wow. Those are amazing. And I got to tell you, that's one of the things that we've seen so much on this show is how many performers have gotten through things and gone on to these amazing careers and said, that was kind of that moment in my life where I thought everything was going to end, and it didn't. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, and it's also the beauty of live performing.
No doubt about it. You get to see that. You get to see how people get through things as much as you do as they give you a great performance.
Yeah.
The show we've been featuring today is Allegiance, and obviously a great piece that opened on February 21st, runs all the way through April 1st. This is an in-depth story about a family in a Japanese internment camp, and there is levity to it. It's obviously a deep and important story, but this, from what I saw online, was a lot of fun to watch in that you get to see a family bind together together and have hope and do things that certainly we all hope we could aspire to in hard circumstances. Runs through April 1st, as we said. Easiest way to get tickets is allegiancemusical.com.
It's at the Aretine Theater at 244 South San Pedro Street in Los Angeles, and it is presented by East West Players in conjunction with the Japanese American Cultural and Community Center.
We'd also like to remind you about A Beach in the Sun, Pow Pack Theater, the amazing group there who produces so many wonderful things, has taken on the story of age and hope and fun. We'd like to visit their website and get out there and see some live theater here in Los Angeles.
Guys, thank you so much for being with us today.
We really appreciate it. And best wishes on this amazing show. Great things with it. I think there's so many great things ahead for this as well.
Will you come back and see us the next time you're doing something in town?
Hey, of course.
Yes. Yeah?
That's a promise. Okay. Somebody write that down. We got a verbal commitment.
You heard it here.
Hey, Michael, great to see you today. Where do I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.